Right now, it's a kind of a very similar approach that I have a trade in mind right now, and I'm going to implement
Sure.
it. Between two sectors, just sectors of the stock market, I'm looking at the technology. So, like, let's call it XLK or just QQQ for that matter, because Nasdaq 100 is full of technology. So I'm kind of bullish on both, but I'm expecting a rotation. I think that XLE over the next, let's say, 6 months or so, will outperform the QQQ. I don't know if they both go up or maybe we'll have a bear market. If we have a bear market, I expect QQQ to drop a lot more than XLE.
Hey Dennis, how's it going?
Good. How are you, Andy? Good to see you.
Doing. It's really good to see you. So, some interesting times that we have going on. Let's talk about how you would trade this in your hedge fund and really going with the idea that a hedge fund, it sounds risky to a lot of people, but it's actually you're trying to get away risk and reduce your risk significantly. That's you're hedging. That's what a hedge fund is. So talk
Right.
about some strategies that you use a hedge fund or you have used in your hedge fund to mitigate some of this risk.
Absolutely. I mean, think of the phrase hedge fund. The main word is hedge. It started back in 1940s, 1950s, when someone decided that instead of investing in something or shorting something if they're bearish, some traders thought that, okay, I'm analyzing the stock of Coca-Cola and Pepsi, and I think that Coke is better than Pepsi. Okay, but I don't know where the market is going. So I'm thinking if the market's going to go up, most likely both of them are going to go up. If the market's going to go down, most likely both of them will go down. I just think that Coke will outperform Pepsi. That's it. Whether they both go up or both go down, they're highly correlated. Usually they go in the same direction. So they thought, why don't I buy Coke and short Pepsi at the same time in a dollar neutral manner? And I'll explain what dollar neutral is. So, in other words, I created a new product. Don't call it a stock, it's just a product. It's Coke versus Pepsi. All I care about is that Coke will outperform Pepsi. If both of them go up, let's say Coke goes up 10%, Pepsi goes up 6%. It means I'm going to make 4%. If they go down, my hope and my strategy is that Coke will drop 5% and Pepsi will drop 10%. It means I'm going to make 5%.
Got
This
it.
is the most po That's how hedge funds started. This is the most basic and the most popular strategy in the hedge fund world. It's called long short.
Yeah.
If it's longer term, then you're investing for, weeks, months, it's called long short. If it's a sh very short term, sometimes intraday, it's called statistical arbitrage. So usually you pick two correlated securities, whether they're ETFs, whether they're stocks, whether they what have you. And that's how you might build your portfolio doing that type of strategy. And we talked about a couple of weeks ago that, for example, this summer I'm expecting the market to be kind of quiet. And so far, so good. It's not going anywhere. The crude oil market is doing very well right now, which is good. Gold is kind of stuck. The same level, which is positive because it's a negative seasonality. The reason I'm saying that in a kind of let's call it a boring market, you can incorporate those strategies in your account. You don't have to have a big account for that. So it sounds very complex, but it isn't.
Okay.
So that's kind of the start of what I would like to talk about today.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that, but I want to get some definition of terms real quick for our viewers and listeners. What you're talking about is market neutrality. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I want to dig into
I'm
that.
long as much as I'm short.
Got it. And let's instead of using Coke for Pepsi, let's use commodities. So like, for example, if I'm, it's kind of interesting. I just thought of this. I think gold and oil would work out well. Would that be correct? Because I'm actually,
absolutely.
Oil's got a really good run here. And I actually expect it to run into the end of the year really, really well. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be sacrilegious here for a lot of our viewers and listeners. But you would short gold because they typically rise together. But I do fully expect oil to outperform gold within the next, I would even say the next 60 days, 60 to probably. 90 days. Yeah.
Probably. And that's a very good
example. That's the basic concept.
Yeah, the most popular ones, especially in the futures world of, let's say, the commodities world, is, let's say, in agricultural commodities. Okay, let's say corn ran up a lot and wheat is lagging. Both of them are susceptible to the same weather, the same conditions, the same thing. So you're thinking, yeah, why is wheat is so high and corn is lagging, or the other way around? Let me buy corn and short wheat. So it doesn't mean that I'm bearish wheat or long corn. So, but talking about energies and gold especially, the interesting trade is, I think we talked about it, when gold ran up quite a bit, and over the last months or even a couple of years, gold stocks didn't advance as much as one would expect. So a trade might be, we're going to be long a basket of gold stocks, or just a GDX, which is the ETF, and short gold.
Right.
So it doesn't mean that you're bearish gold or you're just bullish stocks. It's just the ratio between them. Another very popular trade.
Hold on a second on that. Don't mean to interrupt you, but on that specific note, I would say to our listeners and viewers, think about, you own these gold companies and the producers, GDX, and now you're forward selling their gold production.
True. Very good explanation. Yeah. Precisely. Another good example would be when crude oil runs up and gasoline is kind of lagging. I mean, they're so correlated, and they will be quite, that's a natural correlation. That's not by accident. Right. So gasoline comes from crude. Anyway, so it's a, all right, maybe it's a short-term trade, but I'll short crude oil and I'll buy gasoline. So you can go do it through ETFs or through futures, whether you do it for a few days or whether your outlook is for the next, you know, 3 months or 6 months. Keep in mind that you can lose on both sides, or you can win on both sides, but you don't expect that. The expectation is they're going to go to the same direction. It's just the rate of how they're going to advance or how they're going to decline. Right. So, and let me, before I'll go forward, I want to make sure that the audience, our audience, know that you have to do it in a dollar neutral manner, meaning, so let's say a stock that is trading at 100, you want to buy a stock trading at 100, right? But you're shorting a stock that is trading at $20, right? You don't do it one for one share. So you divide 100 by 20, which is 5. So for the stock that you short, which is a $20 stock, I mean, for the stock that you buy, which is a $100 stock, you short the 5 shares of the 20.
Yeah, it's one-to-one dollar ratio.
Dollar ratio, one-to-one.
Yeah. Right, not very share similar. Ratio very, or contract not ratio.
The share ratio, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
So 1% move on the one is not 1% move on the other if it's a share ratio. So this is very important to have that dollar ratio in mind. So
got it. Now, let me interrupt you too. I just want to give our listeners and viewers some perspective on this. Dennis ran a hedge fund in 2000. Well, he's run multiple hedge funds, but when I was trading with him and we were running a hedge fund together, if you would, he was running his own hedge fund that was market neutral. And I remember this was in about 2007-ish, I want to say. Yeah. You came to me with a trade and you went long gold and you shorted the S&P, even though you were mildly bullish the S&P at the time. And it was, you explained to me the ratio, and that was my my awareness of becoming aware of market neutral trading. And that's what you were doing heavily at the time. But go ahead, carry on.
Right. For example, right now, it's kind of a very similar approach that I have a trade in mind right now, and I'm going to implement it. Between two sectors, just sectors of the stock market, I'm looking at the technology. So like, let's call it XLK, or just QQQ for that matter, because Nasdaq 100 is full of technology. Nothing's wrong with technology, but I think they're very, very expensive. They ran up a little bit too high. It doesn't mean that that's the end of the bull market. They might continue to go up. But I think too much money is in it, and I'm expecting kind of a rotation. And I'm looking at other sectors, and the one that pops up the most, which I like, is XLE, which is energy ETF, right? So I'm kind of bullish on both, but I'm expecting a rotation. I think that XLE, over the next, let's say, 6 months or so, will outperform the QQQ. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they both go up, or maybe we'll have a bear market. If we have a bear market, I expect QQQ to drop a lot more than XLE. In the bull market, if it continues, then I'm expecting a rotation. So people will pull the money out, a little bit of technology, because it's too expensive. It's more of a fundamental trade. And put money in other sectors, in materials, and maybe in industrials, and especially in energy, considering how well the crude oil is doing and so on, and how much they're lagging. I can show you the chart. Let me see if it works.
While you're doing that, I'm going to explain to our listeners, you just said something very key that a lot of people don't understand. And this is not high level, but I would say this is lower mid-level trading and money management strategies. So think of the market and all of these players in the market. The really big players have to be invested a certain percentage. And what they'll do is they'll take profits on a sector that's doing really, really well, or they might even allocate more money to that sector if they're bullish, doing really, really well. But what Dennis is saying is, like, and this is really powerful, if you're bullish, let's say, on energy, as Dennis and I are, and energy is underperformed significantly, money managers, hedge funds, whatever, they're very, very aware of that. And so what they'll do, and what Dennis, please correct me if I'm wrong, is they would take, let's say they're long the NASDAQ or technology, they'll take money out of their trades and their investments in NASDAQ technology, and they'll put it into an underperforming sector that they feel is going to do very, very well. And voila, that would be energy. So that's something you can do also in your portfolio, is allocate money, if you would, rotate it to underperforming, or even double down to something that, if you're still bullish on a sector, you know. Anyways,
very
go ahead,
true.
Carry on.
Yeah. If you see the chart, this is the chart of what I'm talking about. On top, the green chart is XLE, which is mm-hmm. an energy sector.
Yep.
The one in the middle is QQQ.
Mm-hmm.
What we're interested in is the blue line, the bottom, which is XLE divided by QQQ.
Okay.
It's underperforming. It's been underperforming for a while. It had a very good 2022. So, but right now it's underperforming. It's trading at a ratio of 0.18. Not too long ago, it was at 0.35, which means that QQQ ran up twice as much as XLE. So, I'm interested in it. Actually, you can even add technical indicators to the blue line. So the blue line is what we're going to trade. That's essentially it.
Okay, so let me interrupt you. So your software that you're using for this is what?
This is
TradeStation. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so then you just type in the indicators of the different ETFs, QQQ and XLE. And then how do you get the blue line?
In TradeStation, it's called the study, just a ratio okay. between one and the other.
So you're looking for the ratio, and again, on that, and that's
it's one divided by the other.
Got
one
it.
Divided
okay.
by the other.
And
you
then
can
that
do
gives...
I mean, a trade station, obviously, it's a paid service, it's a brokerage
right.
account. But you can go online and go to stock charts or anything, and you just type one and maybe slash the other, or one and column the other.
Makes sense. Yeah, one divided by the other,
or one divided by the other, and they'll give you a chart. So
and you want the ratio.
Some of them do.
Okay, so, and then this is fascinating to me. So next question is, what ratio are you looking for that makes you interested in executing a trade?
So I'm just looking, this one is more of a fundamental thing right now. So it's not an exact number that I was looking for. I'm just thinking that at the moment, the easy money in technology already made, and I think they might struggle. I'm expecting a rotation. I like XLE a lot. I think it's undervalued. So let's call it a relative value trade. But because I don't know where the market is going, for example, maybe we're going to go into bear market. If we're going to go to bear market and I'm just invested in XLE, it'll probably suffer as well. Mm-hmm. So, but if it's a neutral trade and we go into bear market, then I'm going to make money because QQQ will drop a lot more. So or during a correction, let's put it this way. And as I said, if it's a bull market, then I'm expecting a rotation. So in this case, XLE is trading at, let's say, 91. And this is 481. So you divide by one by the other, you get this ratio of 0.19. Or so you can, it doesn't have to be exact. 0.2.
Yeah,
0.2 is fine. So I'm going to buy one share of XLE. Let me see. No. I'm sorry. I'm going to buy five shares of XLE and short one share of QQQ. So it's relatively 5-1. So essentially you are trading, you do it at the same time. You enter it at the market order at the same time because it's both liquid. You don't have to play around with it. And you're watching this particular, you're watching the blue line. The blue line is what you care about.
Okay, this is great. I love that your downside is hedged, if you would, but give me the negatives of this.
The negative is, for example, I'm wrong. The market continues to go up and the rotation doesn't happen. And the QQQ goes nuts on the upside. So and it means, even if I'm making money on XLE, I might be losing more on QQQ.
Sure.
So despite my long being right, my short is wrong more. So this blue line may continue to go down. So this trade doesn't guarantee you a profit. It's just a different strategy that, first of all, increases the probability. Second, in case of a bear market, you're fine. Or at least you're going to be neutral, so you're not going to lose as much money. So
also,
the market drops 20%, you're not going to lose 20%. You might make money. In fact, in this particular case, we'll probably make money.
You'll probably make money. And also, I think, too, your upside is capped, but you're willing to cap your upside to have safety on the downside, correct?
Safety on the downside, yeah, especially in the market where I don't know where it's going. And it's just a different strategy to have in your arsenal.
Exactly how you look at it.
Yeah.
Another
example would be, it's just two stocks in the same sector.
Yeah.
Now I'll give you an example of the two.
Please.
The biggest ones is Chevron, CEX, and ExxonMobil. They're doing the same thing. They are two of the biggest ones. If you look at their charts, so the green one is Chevron, the second one is Exxon. Look at them, they're practically identical.
Yeah, right? I was going to say, they look identical.
Yeah, I mean, they're correlated nearly 100%, you know, everything is the same. But look at the blue line.
Mm-hmm.
Some reason, ExxonMobil has outperformed Chevron by quite a bit over the last 3 years, by quite a bit. The ratio was at 220, now it's at 130. It's a huge difference, enormous difference. And I'm thinking, why?
Yeah.
And that's called more of a statistical arbitrage. So I'm thinking, enough of outperforming. Somebody, especially institutions, will say, you know what?
One, it's got to catch up.
One is going to catch up. Either they both go up or both go down. They're going to go in the same direction, that's for sure. So it's still guaranteed. So I'm looking at that ratio and thinking, I think this ratio is a little too low. I think I would like to buy Chevron and short Exxon. And I don't care where the oil's going, where the, both of them are going. All I care about that
is
Chevron can catch up.
Yeah,
it's a spread. It's a spread. In this case, it's 156 versus 114. So divide one by the other, and you get your ratio. Just round them up, so you don't have to. You don't have millions and millions of dollars. And these type of trades, you can add them up to the portfolio. When you're already invested, you're just looking for something interesting to do, to pick up maybe some cash, and you see an undervalued stock versus an overvalued stock.
Yeah.
One thing I'd like to caution is, for example, don't pair up Apple with a utility stock. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Would Apple be paired up with? Maybe Microsoft's.
Yeah, Apple versus Microsoft, you know, Google versus this, I don't know, Tesla versus another.
Chevrolet, because they have,
GM or something like that, usually correlated in the same industry. Or, like the first example was two sectors, two different sectors, like a rotation. So that's
okay,
what we...
so mm-hmm. My first thought, and again, not to cut you off, but my first thought to all of this is, this seems like it would work really well with ETFs, correct? Or sector ETFs?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'll give you an example with gold. Let me see. So we got GDX, that's a basket of gold stocks, and gold itself, which is GLD. And I'll do the longer term chart, because longer term is much more interesting. So let's see. If I can do it. Okay, this is very, very long term. Not very long term, but from 2006. Look at the blue line. In other words, gold stocks have been underperforming the metal itself.
Underperforming since like 2011.
Yeah. That ratio was at 0.6 10 years ago, or 15 years ago, 0.6. Now it's 0.15.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah, so lately it's just, let's do this.
It's relatively flat, too.
Yeah, so that's relatively flat, but then from 0.15 to 0.22, that's a 50% return. So,
right.
But that's what I'm thinking lately. That I think we discussed a couple of weeks ago. That's why I prefer gold stocks versus gold. I'm long. I don't have this trade on. But because you and I, we're bullish gold. But someone who is not necessarily bullish gold has no interest in it. Says, yeah, I think gold stocks are better than gold. I mean, they're gonna catch up.
Yeah,
they're gonna catch up, or if something happens to gold, gold will fall a lot more. That's right. Something to consider.
Well, two questions I have. This: what happens, like in the case of Chevron and Exxon?
Mm-hmm.
There's dividends involved. So, what if you're long? I think you wanted to be long Chevron, or I forget which one. But whatever.
Yeah, I want to be long Chevron. Yeah.
Okay, so then you still collect that dividend, and you're short Exxon. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's okay, but dividends they sort of offset each other. Make sure that they are. If it's with the difference of 1% or so, that's fine. If it's one pays a lot of huge dividend and the other one doesn't, you have to be aware.
That's what I was going to ask. Make sure that there's similar dividends. Okay, and then the next question is, how do we tie this into options?
Well, it gets a little bit more complex. So
take me down that road.
The first thing that you can think of is don't buy a call on one, don't put on the other. No, because the time will eat both, and this is not a strategy at all.
Right.
The strategy is, if you're doing it with calls, do it with calls. If you do it with puts, do it with puts on both sides.
Okay.
First thing is, like, if I want to be long Chevron, and I want to be short ExxonMobil, I can buy a call on Chevron and Celicol at the same ratio, you have to be calculated precisely. So ideally, both of them trading at 100, it would be easier, but it's like, right, you know, 120 versus 170 and so on and so forth. So okay, you have to calculate the ratio. So it would be options, like two options versus three, or sometimes, you know, 19 versus 22. I see. But here's what's going to happen. So I'm long calls on one, the one that I'm more bullish on, short calls on the other, right?
And we say short calls, just for everybody to know, you're selling calls.
Selling calls, yeah, naked calls.
Yeah, yep. So
what happens is, if both of them go down, right, by expiration, you're probably going to be neutral. So
probably going to be breaking even, yeah.
Breaking even, yeah, I should say. In other words, so it's better to sell options that are more expensive in relative value with implied volatility.
Yeah.
If both of them go down, regardless of by how much, whether they both go to zero, one went to 20%, the other one 30%, doesn't matter. Calls are expiring worthless.
Right.
So if you sell, let's say both of them are at 100, forget the ratio right now, it gets a little bit too complex. So if both of them are at 100, and calls on Chevron are trading at $5. That's the one that I want to buy. I bought it for $5. Let's say they're in December. And on Exxon Mobil, they're trading at $7, because maybe this is a little bit of more volatile stock or something like that. So I sold them for $7. So they, by December, if we're below 100, both of them, they both expired worthless, I collected the $2.
Yeah, I like that strategy a lot.
That's pretty good. That actually applies. I have to check Exxon versus Chevron as an example, where the implied volatilities are.
Yeah.
In case of gold versus gold stocks are a lot more volatile, a lot. So their options are probably two or three times more expensive.
So you'd sell those options.
Yeah. So, but I want to be long gold stocks. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to sell puts. Expensive fat puts.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, and hedge it with a gold put, which is much cheaper.
Yes, that's a great idea.
Yeah, we're going up, we collect the differences, big difference. If we go down, then I'm expecting gold to go down more, so we'll make money. So the probability of making money is way above 50% just by placing a trade. Again, don't confuse it with, hey, this is a guaranteed profit, or this is, I'm going to make a lot of money on that. Just make the right calculations by definition,
yeah,
it's more than 50-50. If you buy a stock, whether you know everything about the stock or you don't know anything about the stock, your probability is 50-50.
Yeah.
Whether it's going to go up or down, it's a linear equation. It's either up or down. That's it. In this case, it adds nonlinear functions a little bit.
It's significantly.
By adding that, it's about 50%.
Yeah. So why I like this is because, well, I mean, so many thoughts on that. Number one is gold stocks are so volatile, you're going to get a really nice premium. The next thing is like your cash flowing, meaning that option premium that you sold is hitting your account. I believe it's the next day. And I do this all the time. So it's the hitting your account the next day. I want to just give a word of caution. Make sure you have money to buy the underlying asset that you sell the puts on. That's number one. And then you really want to own the underlying asset.
At the end, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then what I've done in the past, once it gets put to me, assuming that it does, I immediately then will sell the call at the next strike price right ahead on top of it. So I'm really collecting option premiums. Mm-hmm. And I have not, but that's a good idea. Then you can buy a put on gold, and then you're hedging your bet on gold with buying the put on gold.
That's right. If both of them go down, then what I would do is, so we're probably going to make money on the difference, maybe either a lot of money or a little money. We can lose, of course, but you know, right, they both go down. So I collect my money. I made money on gold puts, and I'm losing money on GDX puts. But because I like gold, say, all right. So I collected profit on gold, and give me the GDX. Put it to me. That's fine. That's fine. I want to hold it anyway. So if they go down, I think it's a good strategy. I would, as a part of, I mean, I'm long both right now, but there's nothing wrong with doing that.
Yep.
They're even more much more complex trades where you do a spread versus. But I have to explain it. Maybe some other time we'll do it.
Yeah.
Requires a lot more calculations. I have to show certain different charts and different spreadsheets to do that. But these are basics. I think it's something to consider. I do it on a regular basis, even if it's what I run is not long short hedge fund, but there are a lot of them. That's how hedge funds started, and is still extremely popular. Whether they're relative value or they do it for the next 5 minutes, Coke versus Pepsi or what have you,
right?
It doesn't matter. It's just long one, short the other. Long one, short the other.
So. Yep. Excellent. All right. Well, any final thoughts on that, Dennis?
No, I think it's just a kind of a basic introduction to it, and I'm sure our readers can find something. And I'll be writing more about it. I used to write a lot about it. So I think especially when the time is a little quiet like it is now, I think it's something to think about.
Yeah, I do too. All right, Dennis, I appreciate all you do, and I'll put all your info in the show notes below this video.